Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. So with some things that have been going on in our nation the last week, I've been praying and praying and interceding and crying out to God. How many know that we have a really good God? Amen? How many know that there's freedom and liberty in Christ? How many know that when God, if you want to really be free from control and free from trying to make, free from idolatry, then we need to give ourselves over completely to Holy Spirit. And know this, when I give myself over to the Holy Spirit, He is going to know there's time for rest. He's going to know the importance of family. He's going to know the importance of a life that will not cause a divorce. He will know the importance of a life that will raise up godly children who will not hate the ministry and will not hate Christ. Amen. He will know the importance of your parents and family getting saved because of your walk with the Lord. Amen. Our God has this. He doesn't need any of us. He's chosen to let us walk with Him so we fall more in love with Him, so we actually enjoy watching His will come to pass. Amen. And there is temptations to the flesh. Amen. And many times I'm sure I have missed it. But this week, and He does it different for different people too. So this week, I was praying about all the things that are going on in the political arena and stuff. And I'm just praying, like so many have been praying. I love to watch the churches waking up. If you haven't been interceding and praying in the last month in this nation, you are asleep as a Christian. You are really asleep as a Christian. And it's time to wake up and become part of the powerful prayers that God is releasing to save our nation in the sense of being a sheep nation, which means a nation that will not submit to the Antichrist, a nation that will live holy in a very dark. The Bible says in the last days, deep, deep darkness is going to cover the earth. So forget the dominating theories. That's baloney, okay? Deep, deep darkness is going to dominate the earth. That means over most of the earth, there's going to come such a darkness, and you can read about it in Daniel, you can read about it in Revelations, you can read about it in any end time prophecy. If you want to really know what is a true end time prophecy, go look up end time or the last days. Look at those, and that's where you're going to find them for sure, that they didn't happen 2,000 years ago when Christ died and Jerusalem fell. Amen? A little bit after that. Amen? So just do your own study. Go look up end days and the last days, the end days, that kind of thing, and you're going to find out a lot of stuff is in there. Amen? All right. So there are sheep nations and goat nations when Christ returns, which is His way of saying there are those who are going to hear my voice and follow me and not follow the Antichrist spirit, or an anti-Christian spirit that's going to dominate the earth. We need to pray. We need to pray into that more than anything else. We want this nation to be a sheep nation. We've allowed the educators, because of becoming part of the world in the love of money and success, and truthfully, I'm going to get hit for this, a lot of the feminist movement has been a movement in a Jezebel way. And Jezebel served Baal. The biggest thing about serving Baal is abortion. A Baal is the murder of babies. Hundreds of thousands of babies have died in America since we have allowed so much mess. Amen? If you are a born-again believer, if you know anyone who's a born believer, help them find their identity in Christ, because the Jezebel spirit only goes after the identity in victim, as being a victim. The Jezebel spirit is going to be the one who's going to save you, poor little you. How many know we have a deliverer? How many know we are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus? You can't be both. You can't be a victim and an overcomer. You have to choose if you're going to believe God. So I'm praying through all this because it's just unbelievable to me how biblical end times we're living right now. It's just amazing to me. It's exciting to my spirit. And then my flesh is going, I like America where, you know, we have it pretty nice and we have a ton of restaurants and we get, you know, and everything's good and we have money and there's, you know, they're not making us take any sign and we have our jobs and okay, right? Like something's wrong with somebody who seriously, seriously wants bad things to happen. Amen? But something of idolatry is in there when you close your eyes and you stay blind to we need to cry out and see God. Here's what I know that I know. No matter what happens, I got a God big enough to get me through it. Amen? No matter what happens, I'm going to be okay because they can't take Jesus out of me. Amen? And I would prefer not to be tortured or tormented or anything. I won't be tormented because I'm not going to give myself over to the tormentor, but I don't want to be tortured. But if I do get tortured, I'm going to believe I will have it like Stephen. And I will see the very glory of God and God himself stand up at the right hand of the Father. And I won't even know what's going on. And I'll be able to gladly say, Father, forgive them. How many want to get to a faith level and a relationship with God where you don't even have to fear any kind of physical pain and stuff? Amen? It's possible. It's in the Word. All right. I know I'm getting this. All right. So the Lord said, go read Luke 12. And Melanie, this is right before some things that we've all been watching this week were going on. This could be about anybody or anything. It says, the crowds were gathered as so to trample one another. And Jesus began to say to his disciples, first, take heed to yourselves of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So Jesus is saying, when you see people gathering together in anger, gathering together to try to destroy someone, gathering together to try to pervert, to try to twist things, you need to deal with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Acting in deceit, dissimulation, which means acting one way for people to see, but something totally different going on behind the scenes. The word hypocrisy has also connected with condemnation. Amen? He said, don't act one way. What is the enemy trying to make everybody be? An hypocrite? Because if you can have a conversation with your group of friends and you say, this is what I think about this, but then when you get around other people, you have to go along with what they're saying, even though you know you're being a hypocrite. Amen? And the enemy is trying to make leaders everywhere hypocrites. Actually, he's trying to shut people up from being able to say or see anything different than he wants you to say or see, even at the threat of violence. So we've all learned, if you come on Tuesday nights, that if I want to be safe in the midst of this kind of stirring of anger and hypocrisy, I need to get hypocrisy out of my heart. One thing I will tell you about myself is I am not a hypocrite. What I have preached and what I say, sometimes I'll go off the air. But it's the same thing if you were talking to me anywhere. I don't have opinions to the best that I cannot have opinions. I have and will live in revelation of what God is showing me is what's going on. Amen? And I constantly ask the Lord to heal my heart. This year he has caused me to seriously know someone and have a heart and compassion for someone who is, I would say, on the other side of what conservatives or those who believe in God's word is about. And I know now, even in that relationship, he showed me to always realize there's a real human being there who's really hurting, no matter how much their thinking may be messed up compared to what God thinks. Amen? And so I try to bring myself back to that. So when I see anyone in this crazy world who is attacking, anyone who is coming against truth, anyone that even the Spirit has me stirred up, I have to stop and say, this is a hurt person. This is a hurt person who needs Jesus Christ. These are hurt people who need Jesus Christ. These are hurt people who are buying into lies of the enemy. And I need to recognize the personhood of that person and the value of that person, no matter what political party they want to endorse, no matter what religion they are, no matter what skin color or education they have, no matter what somebody else has. God created human beings in his image and his likeness, male and female, he created them. And if people don't know if they're male or female, he still created them. They have the problem with confusion, not our God. And we need to recognize the value of a human being. Amen? We need to recognize, I can tell I'm not going to preach all this now, so you're going to have to come back Tuesday. We need to recognize the value of a human being. We need to walk in love and not hate. We need to not be hypocrites in it. See, I can literally say, I see what's going on here, and I the church needs to know how to heal the brokenhearted. How do we heal the brokenhearted? How do we take someone from a victim mentality and get them into an overcomer understanding? How do we take someone and get them out of darkness and into light? And what I'm posting, I'm literally trying to wake people up. And I try to be very careful. Very careful. I'm not a hypocrite in my posting, though. Amen? I'm not going to get near that. Why? Why won't you get near that when people need to hear? Because you are afraid of somebody not liking you. What if they unfriend me? Oh, please, if somebody doesn't unfriend me or block me, at least every now and then, I'm probably not at all prophetic. If nobody ever leaves this church, something's wrong with me as a minister. Because if I can't offend you by Holy Spirit in me, and you don't have to learn what to do with that, then I'm not, what am I doing? Everybody's like, well, she's really good at this. Amen? God wants us to, Holy Spirit wants to offend us so that we can be changed into his likeness. He wants to shake us awake, amen? He wants us to know how real he is and how powerful he is. He wants us to quit being the blind led by the blind. So he wants us to deal with hypocrisy. So he's showing me this. He says, they're all gathering together. They're trampling on each other. But I want you to know this. You yourself, stay away from the lies of the Pharisees. Stay away from hypocrisy. Stay away from believing anything. I'm just going to tell you, stay away from believing anything that is not proven. Do you want to reap accusations being held against you, false accusations, or even true accusation until it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt? Period. One thing the Lord's been putting on my heart with some of this, you are going to reap what you sow. It may be your children, it may be your grandchildren, it may be your spouse, it may be you personally. But how many would like for God to come to your rescue if you're falsely accused? How many would like for the blood of Christ to cover anything you've repented of sincerely? When you begin to come in agreement with this hypocrisy of accusations, you just lost your divine protection, people. Satan is having so much fun right now. No matter what is the outcome of things in our political arena, And Satan's like, let me take, oh, there's their protection. Oh, I got them to think that. Oh, I got them to come in agreement with that. Oh, I got them to do that. You know what? You need to repent and get before God and get all those out of the hands of Satan. Amen? There is a righteous judge, and nobody will get away with anything on that day when you stand before him. The only ones who will get away with anything are the ones who brought it under the blood of Christ with sincere repentance, turned it around, watched God change their hearts, and it won't even be mentioned. Now, my prayer is, if anything even close to some things that people might be accused of could be happening or happened in a younger day or even now, that you recognize the importance of repentance. Not just, I'm going to say, I'm talking about real repentance. You know what we should be teaching right now? We should be teaching right now, parents, you need to teach your kids why drinking can ruin their lives and their future, even when they just think it's a small thing. Let's be honest. We need to teach our daughters not to be in a situation. We need to teach our sons and daughters to be in no situation where there's drinking at all. We need to teach our children that they can come tell us anything, screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs, and we will do what's right according to the laws of our nation for their protection, as well as praying, amen? Well, I mean, there is so much awesome parenting tips that we could be giving instead of the ridiculousness of some of these things. No, everybody, I never drank alcohol before I was of legal age, and then I drank a couple beers and hated it. So everybody doesn't have to drink alcohol. But many have, and many will, and it's not a sin if you don't get drunk. But why even take a chance? I'm just saying one thing. Gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this. What does God say? God tells the men to watch out for the woman and stay far from her house. Do you know, God has really set it up for men to have it within them, especially Holy Spirit-led men, to protect women. And when you take that away from the foundation of our nation and make it as an insult to women, and then you wonder why everybody is wandering around, they don't even know what to do or how to act. You know what? All of this stuff that we're seeing and other nations are seeing is revealing how far we have gotten away from being godly people, being led by God in his word, raising our children. Train up a child in the way they should go and they won't depart from it. Women, be modest. God says, women, be modest. You pump filthy music everywhere you go. Your television in the middle of the day shows complete perversion. Everything about sex and marriage is just perverted and full of lust. And that the enemy, whether what happens or doesn't happen, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying we live in a culture of nothing but Satan setups everywhere you turn, and we need to get a revelation from this of how to speak to the young people, of how to do youth church, of how to see yourself as a college student or a parent or a grandparent. This isn't about pointing fingers and accusing. This is about seeing your heart free from hypocrisy so that you can intercede and pray. Amen? This is about getting healed. If you are a person, male or female, and you've ever been seriously sexually abused or hurt, you need to come and get inner healing. And the church needs to know how to do that. It is not a small thing. I mean, it's the same with abortion. If you've had an abortion or paid for an abortion or is any way part of an abortion, it's time to get free from the shame and come and get healed. We are living in a world where people have crossed lines and crossed lines and crossed lines and done things that they're ashamed of all over the place, where there's nothing but an entanglement of shame. And they were all trying to yell our way out of it. And let me tell you this. There should not be a scapegoat. And you're cheering for the scapegoat to come down. And there should not be a victim. And you're cheering for her to be exposed if she truly was a victim. And let me tell you this. You take away these two players or any players, somewhere there is a victim. And somewhere there are scapegoats. And we need to pray for a move of the Holy Spirit throughout our nation, starting with our young people and roaring. If we don't have a move of the Holy Spirit roaring through our school system, we need to be coming in agreement with this woman put into office who wants to bring prayer back into schools. We need to be put, you know what, we need to be putting into office so that people, if they choose and their system is terrible, they can get their kid into a school that agrees with them, even though they don't have the kind of money to normally do it. We need to wake up and realize that we need to be led by God to do what's right for our children. Because I'll tell you what, if it was my son, and I've known how to pray, and I've known what to do, and I've known how to get them to know how to repent and to be right with God. If you're right with God, Satan cannot come in and destroy you ever. Ever. And if you know how to walk with God in divine protection, you can make sure that your children are safe because you know how to pray and you're led by God and you wake up. It's time for us to realize there is a Holy Spirit and He will lead us. But not when we're calling the shots and I'm too tired and I'll let him go do this anyway. What can it hurt? Everybody's doing it. It is time. I do not have one regret, not one regret, that my kids never watched anything close to garbage on television. And I'm talking even kids' cartoons where they talked about the imagination with a dinosaur who was purple. My kids were not allowed to watch. What? Because the imagination is the secret place that belongs to God, and I didn't want to give it over to anything else. You're so fanatical. No, I am so spirit-led. And I will tell you, where there was ever any kind of rough seasons or rough times or areas where, you know, there was some rebellion going on, all you can do is be led by God and pray. And bring your children to a place of true repentance. Help them to understand. Fathers, raise up. Start being godly. If you're not, ask God for words to say to your children. Ask God to show you how it's nothing but pure love to be led by Him. To stop the enemy from setting up these traps. Wives, pray for your husbands. Break the power of what the enemy's up to. Husbands, pray for your wives. Break the power. How many get it? We are a people who have God living inside of us, and we can overcome everything. And it's time to look at the messes in our own lives and bring them to the cross and ask God to show you you. What could I have done different? What should I have done different? We all go back to our own thinking about stuff and our own experiences. And if you just had this sweet little nothing ever happened or came in your path lifestyle, well, praise God. There's like five of you. other people are hypocrites and act like it's them. There hopefully is more than five, but I don't know more than five. Repentance for drinking underage. Repentance for being where you knew you weren't supposed to be. Repentance. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father, and they'll have a long life on the earth. Are we going to live this perfectly perfect life? No. Why? Because we're flesh. Amen? But we can get to a place to recognize that sin really is a trap. And it doesn't have to be a horrific level of sin for Satan to use it as a trap. So how am I supposed to live? I'm supposed to live in a life of repentance. I'm supposed to live a life led by God. I'm supposed to live a life where I don't wait for the big, horrible thing to hit me before I repent. But I live in a place of, Lord, show me, teach me, help me. I live in a place of prayer. I live in a place of speaking the truth in love. Amen. I live in a place where God is ordering my steps. Right now, the steps have got to be ordered by God. As we enter into a darker season on the planet than we've personally ever known, we're going to have to be led by God more and more. If you're not led by God, the enemy may get you to quit your job when it's not God's will for you to quit your job. The enemy may get you to be fired when it's not God's will for you to be fired. See, there's a big difference between the Lord telling me to shut up and fear telling me to shut up. Amen? No, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between the Lord telling me I can go to India and some other minister telling me I'm safe in India. Amen? There's a big difference. We are entering a time when we had better hear God. And one way that he wants us to start is to get free from hypocrisy. Free from whispering one thing in the background and then saying another thing. Free to walk right straight into, and free from blaming everybody else. Everybody, she did it, he did it, she shouldn't have done this, they shouldn't have done that. Well, what were you doing in high school? Was there anybody ever who wasn't at a place your parents told you not to be? Not in this group. Was there anybody ever where your parents told you to be? No. But do you know what I'm saying? Is there anybody who ever found themselves in a situation that they know, I messed up. I didn't hear God. I should have been more, amen? How many know peer pressure? How many know all these things? And then just straight out false accusations. That's what they did against Jesus. Just false accusations. Well, what do you do with false accusations? You let God defend you. Boy, have I had false accusations. I probably still have so many running around. I just don't even think about it. But if I get in a situation, you know what? If I get a situation, who? Let me just say, who is using God's word? And who is revealing that only a Christian could know that in their family, somebody understands the ways of God? Whenever anybody came against me with false accusations, and it would affect my children, because it has with being a woman minister. I had my kids. I taught my kids to pray and bless that person. Because you bless those who curse you. You bless them. And let me tell you, when you start to learn this, really learn this, which I think there are people now probably learning this. God, these aren't cute words on a page. These are powerful truths from a God who says, I'm going to get you higher than the evil that's attacking you. I'm going to get you higher than the evil that's attacking you. People don't come in agreement with evil. If you've been so hurt and wounded and you live as a victim, please get healing, because you're going to see everything through the victim mentality, and you will never be able to see the overcoming power of God. God says, there's nothing which has been completely concealed, which will not be uncovered, nor hidden, which will not be made known. I'm like, wow. Now, he says nothing. So there's going to be some real stuff coming out. God's saying, look, I'm big. I'm going to get everything out there. I'm going to get everything out there. And one thing for us as believers, no matter what's going on in our political arena right now, as believers, what does this say to us? It says, I want to get every concealed thing and hidden thing that I've ever done or walked in under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a cute formula. That is a sincere repentance of why this was wrong. Why accusing that person was wrong. If you haven't been living any of this, then you are asleep. People who've come here and heard this teaching have learned how to do this. Amen? And it changes everything. It really changes everything to know what's in my heart. What is in your heart that is in that person's heart that makes you so angry? What's in your heart that's at that person's heart? What have you not brought under the blood of Christ? What have you not been healed from so that you can be led by God in everything you say and do? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, we are going to have a parenting conference. We got so many babies popping up around here, and people going to have more babies, and it's like we're going to have the, we'll just have rows of the baby sections. This is going to be a year. 2019 is going to be a year of some really powerful, serious teaching and conferences. And would you come? Because I already know it. I'm not preaching it for me. I get it at home first before I ever preach, almost always. Oh, every now and then I do get some revelation why I'm preaching, because that's just how he moves in me. I love it. I love the gifting he's given me. There's going to be nothing, people, that's concealed, which will not be uncovered or hidden, that will not be known. But if it's under the blood of Christ, it's been paid for. If it's really under the blood of Christ and you've done what he's shown you, now I'm talking about if you've done something horrific, you may have to turn yourself into the police and trust God to take care of it and watch what kind of favor and mercy he gives. I'm not saying the blood of Jesus is a cover-up that you can keep sinning and committing crimes and doing everything you want and it's okay, it's under the blood. No, no, no. True repentance is, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do to be back in your will so Satan doesn't have authority here. I'll confess to whatever I need to confess and I'll trust you with how you're going to deal with it. Does everybody see the difference there? Amen? There's a difference there. But in smaller things, amen, in smaller things, what he's warning us is those smaller things are going to get uncovered. Those smaller things, the enemy's going to use to hurt relationships. Those smaller things, the enemy's going to use to get you out of God's will. And the Lord's saying, would you embrace repentance? Because if it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's over. Wow. Thank God. And so no matter what somebody's threatening you with and you've ruined your life, you can watch a gigantic God change everything. You can watch God put you in a position that you should be disqualified for. But if it's under the blood, how many love repentance? How many love that we live in this life where we don't have to try to figure everything out and come up with this and come up with that? We can say, why don't people do it? Because people would rather blame and do this accusation mess and keep doing this. And all it does is keep you right where Satan wants you. See you. What have you done that God wants you to deal with? So that you can walk in freedom and get in his will and be led by him and have everything he's promised you. Oh, get free from codependency with leaders, with anybody. You should not forsake the fellowshipping together of the believers. But that should be because you know, God, I know this is God's word and I want to be with believers. Are all the believers going to believe exactly like you? No. Are they all going to be perfect? Ha, 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 ha. Does God care about that? No, he tells you to be there because he wants you. Are you to be everybody else's judge and accuser? Or is he letting you sit there so he can deal with you? How many know I get dealt with every time I preach? I've been dealt with while I'm preaching up here. Do you know what? I love that because I don't want to get out of his will. I don't want to start veering over into evil and hypocrisy and anger. Amen? I don't want to go there. Did everybody hear? The rice baby has spoken. That's the first time we've all got to hear. Oh, they're so cute till they're a little bigger. Then rah! Like, keep her quiet. Now, we've heard the Haney baby quite a few times. All right. I want you to get this. There's nothing which has been completely concealed which will not be uncovered, nor hidden which will not be made known. You need to ask God forgiveness, and you need to ask God, is this something I need to share with somebody? Is this something I need to get out in the open? When I minister to people who've been unfaithful to their spouses, I've had people, you know, tell me, I'm like, no, you're not just dumping this on me. You need to tell them. And then we pray about it, and we've watched God bring healing. Amen? If you've stole from somebody or did something, you've got to make things right. Repentance also includes instruction from God how to make it right. It usually includes an apology. It includes saying, I'm so sorry I did this. Did anybody notice in situations going on that someone was disrespectful to an authority figure during the hearing thing and came back and apologized? People, if you cannot figure out who the Christian is that God is operating in, then you need to really get healed from your victim mentality. I mean, I have never seen displayed so much fruit of the Holy Spirit. I had to repent because of thinking, how could a Catholic be that led of God? Because this, I'm going to tell you, I'm watching with my own eyes a people who really are into the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is directing them. That doesn't mean I embrace the wrong doctrine of that particular teaching. That's not the Bible, but it does show me that God is so big that if you want God, he can bypass all that and get you right into his word. His word is really all it is. There shouldn't even be Christian religions. There shouldn't be Christian denominations. It really should be Christians read their Bible led by Holy Spirit and fellowship together and see who he has anointed to minister and to teach and to help us in this all together. But I'm going to tell you what, and I've heard evil things there. He's not really a brother. He is Catholic. I don't care what church he goes to. That man is reading God's word, using God's word. His children are revealing God's word. And his own attitude of quick repentance. Phew. So God's even helped me. I am not concerned that God is going to lift up and heal. Therefore, whatever you said in the darkness will be heard in the light. Whatever you spoke in the ear in the secret rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Think about it. God says, what you're doing in secret, what you're whispering in secret, it's going to be exposed. It's going to get out there. Now listen to what he says. So he's telling us, he's telling all of us, he's gave me this right before all this. Get rid of hypocrisy. Don't fall for it. Everything that you've done in secret, everything that's been done in secret, either way, is going to be uncovered. Therefore, know this, whatever was said in darkness is heard, is going to be heard in the light. Whatever is spoken in the ear in the secret rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. How many knows that's the media? But I say to you, my friends, stop being afraid of the ones who are able to kill your body. And after these things, they have nothing more that they can do. Quit being afraid of people. Quit being afraid that you're going to, what if they take my job? Quit being afraid of what if they do this? God says, quit being led by the fear of man. Quit being led by what is this going to cause? And it goes on to say, but I will warn you. I will warn you. This is Jesus talking, people. I will warn you whom you should fear. Fear the one who after the killing has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear that one. Can we quit telling people not to fear God? There is a whole society, a larger portion of our society have no fear of God. I'm talking real fear, okay? Okay, can we quit? No, he's not talking like the real fear. He means you're to reverence him. No, he's just, Jesus himself says, hey, quit being afraid of people. Maybe they can kill you. Maybe they can hurt you. Maybe they can mess up your job. But you better fear the Father. You'd rather fear the one who can throw you into hell. Get some reverent fear. We have so squishy down the gospel to a place where people do whatever they want. Whatever they want. People are more about going shopping than to church. And I'm not talking any church. I'm talking about a church where God is lifted up, Jesus Christ is revealed, and truth is spoken. I'm just saying, where is the fear of God? Where is the reverence and the hunger? It's like we like to pick one little part and focus on that. Instead of this whole big picture of this. The Bible says, he is a consuming fire. We have a whole world now because nobody will preach that hell is real. Not nobody, but very few people will preach that hell is. We're going to win everybody with his goodness. Well, he says in his word, some are only going to escape hell at the very end of their horrific life. And he says, warn them. In other words, some people you need to talk to on their deathbed, like you're about to hit some flames. Are you sure you don't want Jesus Christ? Would you really say that to me? I have gone into hospitals and said that to persons. I had a grandmother who had a stroke because there was a lot of horrific things going on with some parts of my family that has a lot of greed stuff. And she has a stroke, she was a really awesome Christian, but you could tell she also had a poor me thing, though. And so I sneak in there. And she just had a stroke. You're not supposed to get upset. And I'm like, you know that you have to forgive them. You know they don't know God. You cannot let this get in your heart. And she was like, hardly could talk. And she's like, I said, you have to forgive them. You're the one who knows God. You're the one who knows his word. You cannot let this anger and hate get in you. And then we prayed, and then she had a little bit of a setback, and then don't tell anybody I was the one in there. But she lived and survived and came out of it and knew. She never talked about it. You know, some of these old people, they also talk about this stuff. I had another grandmother when she was dying, and I didn't think she knew God at all, but she was an alcoholic from her lifestyle. And here, I'm like, okay, God, get everybody out in the hallway so I can go talk. Because hell is real, people. And so somehow God got everybody out in the hallway. So I go in this grandmother, and I'm like, you know, Grandma, what's her name? I said, are you sure you know Jesus? Because she didn't act like she knew Jesus. And all of a sudden, she started telling me about Jesus and things he had gotten her through in her life and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, Grandma, let's ask Jesus to forgive you of all the sin in between all that. And she did. And not only that, God healed her. She was dying. They called everybody to come say goodbye. She lived another like 10 or 15 years. Same kind of thing just happened with my stepmother. Can I tell you, we should be the people at the bedsides of those who are dying, and we should want to not make them know that they're okay with God. Not go in some crazy, be led by the Spirit. Go in with sincere love. See, people can handle truth if it's spoken in love. And people don't receive truth when it's spoken in self-righteousness. So if we could get free from self-righteousness, we can begin to have an impact on people that normally are turned off by Christians. God's word has never turned people off. It's self-righteousness that turns people off. There are people who don't want yet to yield to God's word. There's a big difference between they knowing that they're choosing not to yield to his word than them just put off by the spirit that you're operating in when you share it. He goes on, are not five sparrows sold for two? That's about what pennies are. And not one of them has been forgotten before God. But even the hairs of your head have all been numbered. Then stop being afraid. You differ from the sparrows. In other words, you're more important than birds. God says, would you quit being afraid? You're more important than birds. He says, I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, how many have seen? How many know when you're on trial, when your boss calls you in, when somebody, and they're trying to make you look silly for being a believer or trying to put you down, let me tell you what, that's the time to confess Jesus Christ. All the time is, but that's not the time to back down. God is watching. These are spiritual laws, people. This is how it works. Has anybody heard the name of Jesus confessed? Has anyone heard the things of God confessed? God sees that. Start seeing the way he sees. Amen. Just see how he sees on everything. He says, everyone who may confess me before men, the Son of Man will also confess him before the angels of God. Now, the Lord shall put on my heart, you want angels released on your behalf, right? You begin to confess Jesus Christ in your situations. You confess Jesus Christ when they're all gathering around to trample you. Then you confess, and Jesus Christ is going to confess you before those angels, which to me sounds like you're going to get some angelic help. Amen? Everyone who shall say a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but the one blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. We don't have time to get into all that, but that's a whole teaching. But when they bring you in before, okay, when they bring you before the synagogue, the rulers and the authorities, when they bring, isn't it cool that God gave me this scripture right this week, right before all this happened, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm purposely preaching this so it doesn't have to be just about this situation. When they bring you in before the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious on how or what you shall reply or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Anyone who did not watch the second part of what we're talking about, go watch it, because you will see the Holy Spirit took over. It was amazing. You were crying. You were cheering. You were amazed. If everyone was only concerned in hearing the story and not concerned with hearing what God had to say about it, then you need to go and listen to it. Because you allowed what the enemy wants you to hear through, I believe, control and manipulation and just a lot of mess to get in to your thinking. Now you need to go and hear when the Holy Spirit chose to speak, because it wiped that away for anyone who's seeking God. And what does God have to say? For the Holy Spirit will teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Been there in situations not near as serious as this, but he will show you what to say. How many have ever had that conversation in your head about what you're going to say when the boss calls you in, or what you're going to say when this, y'all know, and sometimes you're just sitting there, you brush your teeth or whatever, and you're having this whole conversation. You need to stop that conversation. You're like, who's in there? Who's in there talking with you? Like, shut up. Holy Spirit's going to tell me what to say when I need to say it. I quit doing that. I used to do that. I think people, well, I would do this, and you have to, well, if they call me on it, you're like, shut up having conversations in your head. Who are you? What are you rehearsing? Holy Spirit says he'll give you what to say when you need to say it. How many are no? Well, that's what we need. Amen. And if you watched what I'm talking about, the first part was kind of and then it's like goodbye notes. Holy Spirit just took over. The notes were gone. It was awesome. Now listen to this. And one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brothers to divide the inheritance with me. But he said, isn't it funny how Jesus preaches this and this? But he said, man, who appointed me a judge or a divider over you? And then Jesus said, beware and keep back from the covetousness, for one's life is not in the abundance. Now we're getting into my topic for today in the next 20 minutes. Beware and keep back from covetousness, for one's life is not in the abundance of the things which are his. In other words, the things that you know you have access to, your bank accounts, your house, your car, your buildings, the things that you put your security in, that's covetousness. He says, he spoke a parable to him saying, a certain rich man produced well from the land, and he reasoned within himself. Remember the talking back and forth I was talking about? It's called reasoning within yourself. We need to stop that. If you reason within yourself, you're going to build up a lot of anxiety. You're actually going to be defensive. You're actually going to be coming out punching before anyone's even opened their mouth. Well, when I talk to her, I'm going to say this. And when I talk to them, I'm going to, if they say this to me. That's reasoning within yourself. We're supposed to be people who say what God tells us to say when he tells us to say it. Amen? Boy, that sounds like a Tuesday night. Okay. He reasoned within himself, what may I do? For I have nowhere that I may gather my fruits. In other words, this is all full. This is all full. I need to take care of this. He says, I'll do this. I'm going to tear down my barns and build a larger one. I'll gather the produce and his goods. He's like, I'll solve this with my reasoning. I'm going to store up more stuff. I'm going to have more stuff to take care of me. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be glad. He's trying to convince himself that he'll be taken care of. And then God says to him, fool, this night they demand your soul from you, and that which you prepared, whom will you give it? He's basically saying, you can do everything you want and try everything you want and have the biggest saving account you want, the biggest fanciest houses, all your stuff, everything else. But at some point in time, it will not help you. It's not what life is about. It's not what's going to take care of you. It's not what life is about. And when he says they may demand your soul, I believe there, that's even talking spiritually, that the enemy is going to have authority to come in and take you out before your time because you were serving mammon. You were serving taking care of self, and then you put that time and your death in the hands of the enemy. How many want God to be in charge? So I want you to see covetousness or trying to take care of self and figure it all out. Does that mean God never wants you doing this? If he wants you to, he'll show you to. So you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be glad. You know what this? This is somebody who works himself so much trying to figure everything out and make sure everything's okay. And then God says, fool. Now they're going to come and ask for you because you're serving the wrong God. It's strange that he says, they're going to come and ask for you. I'm going to tell you, there are people who die all the time, and it is not God's timing. There are people who've given themselves over, not intentionally, but to covetousness and idolatry, and they give authority to the enemy to come in and hurt them. But God said to him, fool, tonight they demand your soul from you, and what all that you have, what to whom will it go to? And this is the key that he hit with me. Ready? So he, treasuring up for himself, is not rich towards God. And all of a sudden, I got this revelation that I am really, really rich. I am really, really rich towards God. I am so rich. And the Lord's like, how rich are you? I said, well, my faith towards you, believing in you, trusting you, wanting to do what you want, living my life sold out to you, I'm a millionaire. I am a millionaire. I am actually probably a multimillionaire. Oh, but I would like to be a billionaire. And all of a sudden it hit my spirit. I'm not going to live in covetousness. I'm not going to make my decisions on who I hire and how many people are here and what nations I go to and what things I do based on what I'm able on my own to store up and to gather and to put in a checking account. Let me put this out there for you. Don't fake this. It's pretended faith if you think you're a millionaire and you only got $1,000 in God. What he is saying here, well, he goes on. He says, isn't that cool? He says, he said, disciple, because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious to your life, what you eat, what to wear, what you should put on. Your anxiety, your amount of worry, your amount of thinking it out and reasoning itself reveals that you are not a millionaire in the eyes of God. He gives you the test here so that we don't have, pretended faith stinks, okay? People thinking they got the faith and then it doesn't come through and then it's like, I don't know what happened. What happened is you didn't have what you needed to have in your relationship with God. Is that a bad thing? No, it's an answer to why it didn't happen so we can get hungry for more of God. So we can decide, I'm going to have my riches, my treasures are going to be in my relationship with God for real. And there will be healing, and there will be finances, and there will be breakthrough, and there will be household salvation. I am over to just say it and hear something and then you think it's going to be real for you. I am about having real revelation and hearing from God where the gates of hell cannot prevail against what God is giving you. And then I have authority to bind, and then I have authority to loose. And we got to get this thing out of head and into heart and be real. Amen? Amen. And everyone is on that path and journey if you're going after God. And so he's saying, if you worry all the time, you still covet the things of the world. You're still trying to do this yourself. And there's going to be an underlying fear for your health when you do that. What if they come and give me a heart attack? What if I can't handle the stress? I can't handle this. I can't handle that. All of that is a sign here that you live with covetousness. And that's not like coming like, oh, I want everybody else's stuff. This is like saying, I'm going to take care of self. I got to take care of self. I got to make sure everything's taken care of. Now, don't go the opposite way and say, just give everything away if God tells you to. Because if the Lord's telling you to save up the money, like right now we're saving up some money each month, so if we have to replace something big, we got it. That's wisdom that he gave us that we didn't have for all these years until we had to come up with, till God gave us a miracle and fixed everything for a couple thousand that could have been thousands. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to start believing to have enough money. I started believing to have 1 month's bills paid ahead. Why? Because I got tired of spending most of my time in faith believing for that month's bills. Everybody who works here was very happy when I got that revelation. Well, thank God, we know we got a job for a month no matter what. She's already got the money for that. Amen? But I take very serious if the money's not coming in. Lord, you know, where am I? Just like you should take very serious if you have a medical problem. You don't just pretend it's not there. You recognize it. And then you go to God to see what's going on. Amen? That's the difference in pretended faith. Pretended faith, everything's fine, and nothing's fine. Real faith is a real relationship with a real God who will give you real answers if you ask him real questions. And obey him. Amen? Consider, okay, he goes, get on. The life is more than food and the body than clothing. What is funny, the Lord gave me all this on a night that I was asking him about some things here. When finances were dipping, they've turned around, praise God. And he gave me this revelation. And at the same time, he wants me to have this heart for what's about to happen with some other things in our, in that's important in the spirit realm in our nation. And I'm like, how could you give me so much in one chapter of the Bible? You are so cool. He's so awesome. How could you not love the word? Oh, the only reason you don't read and love the word is because you have never asked him for revelation and actually sit down and start to believe he's going to talk to you. Consider the ravens, for they do not sow, nor do they reap. They have no storehouse or barn. God feeds them. How much rather you, that you're better than birds. And also, we have the revelation of sowing and reaping. We have his principles of sowing and reaping. They don't, when he, oh, good. Thank you, Lord. This is so good. Oh, when he says, hey, the birds don't have the understanding and the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, but you do. See, people take a scripture and twist it to say, we don't have to, we're not, God doesn't care. We're not going to reap what we sow. And then he himself says, you're going to reap what you sow. He can't be contradicting himself. What he's saying is, the birds who do not even have this great revelation of sowing and reaping, I even take care of them. How much more you? How much more you if you do what I tell you? How much more you if you sow when I tell you to sow? If you tithe because I tell you to tithe, then I'll stop the devourer. If you give, even a little above, I'll give it back to you 10, 30, 60, 100-fold. I have set up a spiritual system to make sure everyone can increase. If you want to believe me, the birds don't have that. And Greg knows that is good preaching right there. I'm just saying. It's like, I love revelation. He doesn't throw out the old with revelation. He adds to, not adding additional. He gives deeper insight to something that's already there. We are to be sowers. If you're not sowing in most of these places, let me tell you, there are people here, and you know good and well, you would not still be even having your home and bills met if it wasn't for understanding God's spiritual laws. You ought to get excited about sowing. If God says, look, if your riches are with me, you can be a millionaire with me. How am I a millionaire with God? Because I believe him so much that he's going to give me what I need when I need it. So I have the access to more than $1 million. but I still need to sow. We needed more money to come in this month. So what happens? So I have a guest speaker. Does anybody get it? If you're on this side of things and you have a guest speaker and they're going to take a chunk of money out the door, that money's not going to pay the electric bill or the orphanage or the salaries. So it takes faith to put guest speakers in when the finances are kind of having a fun time bugging you. And so then I get a phone call. Yeah, we gave about $900. I said, $900? That's the electric bill. Now I'm like, okay, God, thank you. Thank you. Bless him. He needs it. He blessed people. Thank you, Lord. What do you get? You got to get out of sight and get back in the way he sees things. And it is an ongoing, all the time thing. Amen? And then I just got the finances for this month, and everything's done a really big upturn. Thank you, guys. Think however God's done it. I don't know. The book, you know, praise God is all I can say. Amen? And I get the revelation, then he backs it. I say, he's so awesome. You have to do this his way. You have to do this his way. And I'm going to tell you, out of what's going on before us on our little television sets and our computer screens, only one person is doing it God's way. And God's going to show up. And God's going to show up. If you didn't see Holy Spirit speaking through someone, you need to go back and see it. Whew. He says, how is your being anxious? It can't even add a half an inch to your height. In other words, your worry does nothing to help you. Nothing. It reveals that you're not trusting God. Your worry reveals that your riches are not in heaven. Amen? Then if you are not able to even do the very least of like that, why worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They do not labor, they do not spin. But I say to you, not even Solomon, all his glory, was clothed as one of these. But if God dresses the grass, and today the field tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more he'll take care of you, you little faiths. You do not seek. Do not seek what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and stop being anxious. For the nations of the world seek after these things, but your Father knows that you need these things. Now here's the key I wanted to get to. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. What he's saying here, does not pretend at faith, is as I keep my eyes on God, and I keep believing him, and I keep trusting him for household salvation, I'm trusting him for finances, I'm trusting him for ministry doors to open, I'm trusting him to make a way in situations, I'm trusting him for my children's lives, you know, to be awesome. I'm trusting him to help my husband with things. I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I'm looking to him. I'm believing him. My eyes are focused on him. My riches are in him. He's my treasure. Oh! And in that place, I'm going to then obey him. He says, sow, I sow. He says, say this, I say this. He says, show this scripture, preach the scripture. See, we like to hear the word and then think that's enough. We need to hear the word in the presence of God and then do it. Do it. Without the doing, you're not going to get anything. That's our part. That's our part. And you can look foolish. But you just do it. God's had me posting things, even on Bigwigs prophecies, who were saying that this was gonna look bad, and I wrote, oh, God gave me this. Someone even deleted my comment and left everybody else's. Now they're like, oh, wow, it looks like it turned around. Oh. And it's truth, praise God. But we need to always, always, always speak from God's ability. From God's ability. We can say what's really happening, but we can say it from God's ability. Amen? Seek the kingdom of God. Another scripture says seek first. This one says, but seek the kingdom of God, and this will be taken care of. Stop being afraid because you're... Now get this one. Stop being afraid, little flock, he says. He's like, come on, quit being afraid because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. God's not trying to make it hard for you. How many good parents here, you want your kids to get the rewards? Like it's so bad. If you bring home something, you said, okay, you know, if you clean your room and do this, then we're all going to go get pizza or something, right? And then they don't do it. You're like, oh, I wanted to take you to get pizza. But then you have to say no, so they'll learn they have to do it according to your rules. And if you never do that, that's why your kids do not understand how important it is to follow rules and have the fear of the Lord. Now, there's always a little leaning, so if you got a controller, better do everything right. And we're not talking about your kids are in the army, but we're talking about sincerely having a heart that recognizes these rules are going to help them to be able to have a real job one day, to pass school one day, to be successful one day. And that's my intention. My intention isn't to make them perfect so I look good. My intention isn't to make my life easier, although that helps, amen? But my sincere intention is that they will have what they're going to need when they grow up. That's how it is with God. God's a good father, amen? But he wants to teach us and lead us. And every path we go on is so we can get deeper and deeper and deeper in him and walking with him and loving him and growing in him. People, the hidden knowledge religion, is even if it's real, even if you really are going to be saved and you know Jesus, it's so little compared to knowing him. Do you know how exciting it is, even if it's the middle of the night, for God to give you a word like this, and he comes right in his presence, and he talks to you, and you know it's him, and he gets your eyes off of what the enemy's doing, he gets your eyes off of whatever people are saying, and you know that you've heard God because he came and he showed it to you, and it's not because he showed it to you because it's not about you. He showed it to you because you sincerely, sincerely were concerned, and you sincerely sought first his kingdom, and you asked him to prepare you, asked him to show you, and then he does. And then you're just like, yes, I love God. Yes, I love God. God, you're so cool. God wants some happy dances from you guys. Amen? Ah, sell your possessions, give alms, make for yourself purses that do not grow old, an unfailing treasure in heaven where a thief cannot come near, no moth corrupt. What's he saying? Do what you have to do to destroy being covetous. Do what you have to do to seek first the kingdom of God. Get rid of your old way of handling things. Now here's the quote. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And I can't do the rest, it's just so much. But let me just go this one thing. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, we talked about the end times, but I don't have time, but I'm going to finish this last thing because it's really cool. So I was really hoping that some situations in our political arena were going to be settled this week. And they really could have been. Like everything that was praying, everything went yay, even down to like, wow. And then a interruption gets thrown in. And I'm like, what? What? And I'm like, God. So this was just like last night or maybe Friday night. And I'm like, oh. And the Lord said, just go. He didn't even say it. A lot of things you do, you're just led by God, right? So I'm like, I'm just going to go to sleep listening to the Word of Promise Bible audio, and I'm just going to listen to Luke 12 because that's been something he's been pouring in my heart. So I turn on, and you know how you go to sleep during stuff? I only wake up for the very, very, very last two verses. Listen to this. I love God. For as you go with your adversary to a judge, give pains in the way to be set free from him, so that you not be dragged to the judge, delivered to the officer, and thrown into prison. And the Lord said to me, the adversary in this case are those who are trying to prevent this person from having the position God has called them to. And so he's to take pains, go along with an investigation, do whatever it takes that's in his ability to make this right so that they don't call up false criminal charges or something like that to try to delay. Whoa! The wisdom of God is so much greater than a five-second win. How many know we like the five-second win? And the Lord said, have I exposed everything yet? Have I uncovered everything yet? Have I shown what's been done in secret? Have I done all these things yet? I'm like, no, but how many of us like the quick answer? How many like the trial to be over as fast as possible? Amen? How many know we like the trial to be over as fast as possible? How many know a lot of times God says, no, this is not going to be over as fast as possible. You're going to persevere, and add to your faith. So my prayer is for everyone involved, everything to be exposed, people to get healed, people to get saved, for God to be glorified, for God to shake what needs to be shaken, and for people to really see clearly and God move in a powerful way in our nation. Amen? How many are like, wow. It's like, wow, Lord, all in Luke 12, and I didn't get to do part of it. So, Father, I just thank you for giving me this to share, for giving this for your body. And, Lord, I thank you that there's so many potential millionaires in this room. Ho! Lord, that we will be able to do all and everything you've called us to do. Lord, let us get our eyes on you. Let us get our eyes off of reasoning within ourselves. Let us get our eyes off of all the stuff and all the things that we think we can do. And, Lord, we just ask you to order our steps into guidance. Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, we pray against a Jezebel spirit taking over our nation. We pray for our president. We pray, God, that you would move powerfully to give him wisdom, Lord, even when we don't understand it, God, that you will move. And Father, I pray that you are so in charge of all this, Lord. I ask in the name of Jesus that you are in charge of any investigations, any uncoverings, anything that's going on. And Lord, that it would be so, so clear that you could use it to draw people to your kingdom. Lord, we pray for everyone involved who truly has been victimized. We pray that there'd be healing. We pray that there would come freedom. Lord, we pray for the young people. Lord, we pray that this would be turned for good. We pray that this would be turned to good, that this would begin to resonate in people's hearts how serious it is to do those things that glorify you. Father, we pray that people would begin to parent in faith and truth, and this would not release a lot of fear. So God, we just give you praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.